episode 624 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a spotlight episode on Aquaman Justice League Drowned Earth number one. This is the final one-shot that finishes off the Drowned Earth storyline. So let me give the creative team really quickly. It's written by Scott Snyder. We have Francis Manapole, Howard Porter, and Scott Godlewski on art. Hi-Fi and Manapole on colors. Tom Napolitano doing the letters. We've got Manapole on the cover. And then we've also got a variant cover by Dale Keown and Jason Keith. So as I said, this finishes up the Aquaman Drowned Earth storyline. All in all, I think it was a really well done series. We had Scott on the show not too long ago, maybe a little over a month ago now, I suppose. And he was talking about how much he wanted Justice League to tie in to the overall DC universe. And then he specifically said on the podcast about how he wanted each arc to focus on one or two characters specifically. He mentioned Drowned Earth focusing on Aquaman and Wonder Woman. I can kind of see what he was saying about Wonder Woman in as much as it's about gods. And obviously Wonder Woman has ties there, but really this is an Aquaman story. And not only is it an Aquaman story in terms of, you know, it deals with water and it deals with Poseidon and it deals with Atlantis and the heritage of Atlantis and the history of Atlantis and things that have happened in the past that Aquaman himself was unaware of that had to do with Arion, the sorcerer of Atlantis from way back when. He used to have his own DC title. So many roots in who Aquaman is as a character. And what's great about it is not only did Snyder and company explore that, but what they did was they looked at Aquaman in a way that he hasn't really been looked at before, talking about him as kind of a mariner or an explorer in a lot of ways. And what's so great is I have to imagine that at some point Snyder talked to Kelly Sue DeConnick. So I have to imagine at some point in planning this out, or maybe it's just because Scott knew what Kelly Sue DeConnick wanted to do in her Aquaman run, which starts with issue 43. He had to really maybe work with her or have an idea of where he wanted Aquaman to go. Like, how did the story that he wanted to tell in Drowned Earth really kind of dovetail into what Kelly Sue was going to do in her run? Because he really set her up to take Aquaman to places that he's never been before, which is what Kelly Sue has talked about her series, you know, not wanting to do the whole fish out of water thing, guy from two different worlds trying to reconcile the fact that he's from both. She really wants to move on from that. And so some of the things that we've seen the writers do in this series, as well as the tie-ins, like the Dan Abnett on the regular Aquaman title, is really explore and look at Aquaman in ways that haven't been done before. So I have to give DC, both the creators over at DC and DC editorial, everybody who's over there kind of steering the ship, I have to give them their props, because doing something original with a character that's been around as long as Aquaman can be risky, but it seems like they're willing to take that risk. I mean, I understand with Aquaman and with characters like Hawkman, that's another character where DC has really been changing who the character is on a fundamental level by being additive and adding to his origin, and Robert Venditti and Brian Hitch are doing just an amazing job of making sense of this convoluted history of Aquaman over the years. So again, have to give credit where credit is due. And so there's always a risk when you take a character that's been around for as long as somebody like Aquaman or Hawkman has been, and you're making a fundamental change to who they are and how they act as a character, and longtime fans can sometimes be turned off by that. Now, again, this is Aquaman. This is Hawkman we're talking about. It's not like they're changing Batman or Superman or somebody completely iconic. So there's less risk, but there's still risk, right? I mean, these are properties and characters that are worth a lot in terms of licensing and, you know, deals for the big screen with movies. Aquaman has a movie coming out pretty soon. So again, credit where credit is due for Snyder to tell a story in a different way and explore Aquaman in a different way that's ever been done before. And I think it leaves Aquaman in a really, really good spot to let Kelly Sue tell the story that she wants to tell. And I'm really excited for it because, again, I think it's looking at Aquaman in a way that hasn't been looked at before, because she's right. It is kind of tired what Aquaman has, how he's been portrayed over the last few years. Not to say that Dan Abnett's Aquaman hasn't been amazing. It's been a really political book and very relevant. But for so long, Aquaman has been defined by, okay, here's a character that's of two worlds and he has a foot in each. And so the surface world kind of rejects him because they see him as being from Atlantis, and Atlantis doesn't trust him because they see him as being from the surface. And how many times can you really tell that story over and over and over, right? And I think a lot of those themes might be some of what is in the Aquaman movie that's coming out soon as well. So excited to see a different take. So let's dive into the issue here. We're looking at Atlantis, Dawn of Civilization, when Arion is still around, and he's speaking to Astrea saying, look at what we've built together. And her response is how impressive the towers look. She's been reaching out to her sisters for help with the design, and the risk obviously paid off. And for those that aren't aware, Astrea is from Themyscira, another one of the cities of the ancient world, the island of the Amazon. So she talks about how working in cooperation like this only makes their union stronger. And Arion says, well, there's many among us that feel that way about Atlantis and every great city, right? With every new challenge, retreat is always a temptation to kind of put up your walls and isolate yourself. And it's to the point where not just the Amazons building a great civilization, but the Atlanteans as well. And these towers are a trident of life. He's talking about connection, and he can't wait to see them rise into the sky because they're so much more than just towers. They're the clarion. They're the cosmic conch. They're what's going to be used to reach out to the stars to share Arion's gift of and magic of life with whoever out there answers the call. So connection between the surface world and the ocean, and the fact that there is so much life and power of life, life-giving power and power of life both, and they can share that with other worlds. And he says he feels it in his bones. The clarion's going to bring about a new era of unity, and not only unity among the cities of Earth, such as Atlantis and Themyscira, but also unity among anyone out in the stars who answers the call. So after that flashback, we are back on Earth. We are seeing the team of Mira and Superman and Flash being overwhelmed with some other sea creatures, former comrades. It looks like Huntress, Lobo, John Stewart, Black Canary. They've all been changed by the water of the drowned Earth. And Superman saying, great Scott, our friends, the sea gods have changed nearly everyone. And Mira says, the way is through the sea gods. Now that her sword carries the tear of extinction, she needs to reach the sea gods. She can strike them down and end all this. And there must be a way to get out of the tomb. So Spider-Man says, we've got to keep pushing. My powers are nearly restored. And if I make a break for it on my own. And Flash says, no, we can't. The waters out there will infect you just like they have infected me. And you'll change into one of those things in a second. Flash is barely being able to hold off his transformation. And he can feel Manta inside of him. He almost has control over him. And Superman says, well, I understand, but we can't stay trapped here forever. There's got to be a way out. And meanwhile, Mira's cursing the sea god, saying that they can't hide. She will find a way to strike them down once and for all. Meanwhile, the sea gods are watching this unfold along with Manta. They're encouraging him. Keep going, Manta. Keep them pinned down, then crush them. Manta's reveling in his power, how amazing it is. Captain Gall says, you know, forgive me, Admiral Tide, but the Atlantean Queen has harnessed the Tear of Extinction. Don't we need to be worried about that? She could strike us down. And if she does, with the Graveyard of the Gods having been destroyed that we saw in the last issue of Justice League, we will truly be dead. And Tide says, well, it's a good thing we have them where we want them, Gall, because at this rate, we won't even need to enlist the wretched Death Kraken, who Black Manta insisted on calling back or calling forth at the end of last issue. And Gall says, well, it's a shame to not set it upon them. After all, he's nearly here. Meanwhile, Fleetmaster Drogue says, take a look, Ocean, King of the Earth. See what is coming. Every arm has upended worlds. Every mouth has eaten a species. What say you? And as the current Ocean King of Earth, Black Manta, turns and says, my God, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Which really kind of says everything that needs to be said about Black Manta and just how evil. I mean, the guy is human. The guy is a human. He's betrayed his race. He's betrayed his planet. He's betrayed his species. I mean, for being a human, you wouldn't expect him to be as evil as he is. There's something just so inherently wrong with Black Manta. I love him as a character, like visually. I think he's great, but he's one of those villains you just love to hate because he is just beyond redemption, complete scumbag. He's to the point you can't even really relate to him anymore because he's gone so far over. And you can't understand how a human could be that evil. He seems like he's got to be like of another race or another species. So as we see back in the tomb, Superman saying he's about ready to give up. There are too many. We're trapped. And Flash says, well, for the first time in my life, I actually wish I had fewer friends because, again, these are their friends that are attacking them. So Mira says, if I could just hold them off a little longer, my strength is failing. One more big blow and that's going to be it for them. So all of a sudden, as almost in answer to Mira worrying about that one more big blow, they see Giganta show up. And they're like, oh, crap, one big punch from her and she's going to crush the whole tomb. And then all of a sudden they hear a giant krakoom and Superman's like, wait, what happened? Why is this place still standing? And Mira says, something must have stopped her. We must open the tomb doors and see. And Flash isn't convinced. He's like, open the tomb doors? You know, after you boarded up the zombie farmhouse, you never, ever open the door. Like, we open the tomb doors. All these other sea creatures that are out there waiting to attack us are going to get in. And Mira says, we don't really have a choice. I have no strength left. I can't keep the water shield up any longer. So we need to open up the doors and find out what's out there. It can't be worse than what's going on in here. And so Superman says, all right, open them. We'll face what's on the other side as a league. And when they open the doors, they see the skiff that Wonder Woman and Aquaman rode on to escape the Graveyard of the Gods. And the sense of relief is palpable for Mira, Flash, and Superman. And Flash says, Aquaman? Wonder Woman? And Aquaman says, there's no time. Manta's gathering another wave to send against us already. And Wonder Woman says, yeah, quickly, the garments on board should help protect you against the sea god's magic. Go ahead and put them on. Mira goes to reunite with her beloved, saying, you know, I feared you were lost. And Aquaman says, well, I'd never die without saying goodbye. You know that. And now we sail. So he's kind of Aquaman is explaining to the others that they found Poseidon. And Mira wants to know if they discovered a way, did Titan have the Poseidon rather have the knowledge to have how to stop the sea gods? And Aquaman says, well, he tried to restore my powers and the connection to the life force, but that didn't work. So instead, he gave me this trident and he told me that when the Tear of Extinction's energy is strong enough in you, we should be able to use the tear to charge the trident and then use the trident to strike down the sea gods as Arian did so long ago. And so Mira says, great, that's what we'll do. And Aquaman's trying to explain to her, but Mira, you don't understand. And Superman says, well, Arthur, what is it? What's wrong? And Aquaman again gives his misgivings about this plan. He said, what's wrong is I believe this to be a doomed course. And Wonder Woman says, well, whatever the course it is, we got to make it fast because Flash is his transformation is almost complete. And he tries to say, I'm still Flash, but it kind of morphs into that other language that the sea creatures speak. And Wonder Woman says he's nearly as gone as the rest of the world. So Aquaman says, listen, everybody, the sea gods are not the enemy. We've got to find a way to make this right. And I think I need to give them the trident. And Mira's like, wait, what? What are you talking about? These sea gods, they're monsters. They came here to conquer Earth and steal Poseidon's trident. And Arion died defending the planet from them. And you just want to give it to them? You want to show them mercy? And Aquaman saying, yes, but the story that we know, everything that we've been told is a lie, right? Like Arion sent out that clarion call from Atlantis with those towers as you know, the tips of the trident. And the whole point was to take the life force, the gift of life, the power of life that was within the sea and on the earth and contained in Poseidon's trident, and send that call out, share that gift of life, send that call out across the galaxy to different worlds and give and share that life, share that gift, share that power. And in the sharing, everybody is enriched and everybody becomes more powerful. And it's the gift of life being shared in, and it becomes cyclical, right? Like you share the gift of life and the power of life that's contained in Poseidon's trident on Earth. And it then enriches life on other planets, which then in turn nurtures the power of life, the magic of life, and the life essence of the universe, which makes all life more powerful. And then you've got more power of and magic of life to share, right? So it's, it becomes like this self-perpetuating magic and power of life. And that's what Arion's plan was. And we saw last issue with kind of in the last issue of Justice League, rather, the selfishness of Poseidon. He got scared that sharing his power, somebody would become more powerful than him. And that's what Aquaman is telling these other heroes, saying Poseidon was selfish. He lied to Arion, and Arion sent out the call. And when the sea gods came, Poseidon had convinced Arion that they were evil and they needed to be struck down. And Arion thought there was no hope and that they had to kill those sea gods. But what we need to do is we need to go back to the beginning. We need to reach out to them, find a way to break through. There is a way to break the barrier. And he tells Mira, you know it too. And Mira says, well, you met with Poseidon himself and you believe him when he says he caused this through his folly and his mistake and his selfishness, his impetuousness. Again, Poseidon, god of the sea, he's going to be as unpredictable and as impulsive as the weather, right, out at the sea. It's part of his nature. So Mira's point is, so you met with him. He told you how this happened. And yeah, that's bad. And it kind of sucks for the sea gods. But he's giving you the answer of how to kill these gods. And you don't believe him? So Aquaman says, yeah, well, what I believe is that for years, I thought that my power came from bridging the gap of two people, right? Again, a character, Aquaman, that has one foot on the surface and one foot in the sea, and he's supposed to be the best of both worlds. And he says, I use that power to help unite the land and the sea, but somehow I always knew that they spoke to a greater purpose and a greater journey. My powers were meant to do more than just bridge that gap. And now that I don't have my powers at all, I know who I've always been and who I must now be. And it's somebody that's more than that. I always use that as my identifier, right? Just what I was talking about before, about how that fish out of the water, that guy from two worlds that can't reconcile, has always been the identity of Aquaman. Well, he's had those powers taken away from him. He's got to redefine himself. And hopefully that's what Kelly Sue DeConnick is going to do in her new Aquaman run. So the story, again, has really been seeing Aquaman in a new light and looking at a character that's been around for a really long time and finding ways to tell new and unique stories with him. And for the first time in, 75 years, Aquaman is really looking at himself as something more than just that single core defining characteristic of him. And I'm excited to see what comes next, I should say. So Mira, for her part, says, well, I understand what you're saying. And do you understand what you're saying? Like, you're really going to try to talk to these gods and just give them the trident? And he says, yes, I do understand. I'm saying the only way to save the world is for Atlantis to die, right? It can't be what it's always been. And Mir's like, wait, what do you mean? And he said, the legend is Atlantis's great towers were designed to travel, to break the barrier, to break the membrane, to reach the most distant shores. And that's what should have happened. The life energy, the magic of life should have been shared. Those towers should have been launched. And they're the key, right? The secret tunnel beneath the cemetery where we discovered it when we were fighting Barbados in the Dark Metal series. And as much as it pains me to see my city fallen, if we can use those towers to slay these sea demons, then maybe all is not lost, right? Just need to launch the towers before it's too late. So as they're heading toward Atlantis, all of a sudden there's a giant screech, there's a giant rumble, and in the sky they see the Death Kraken has arrived. Admiral Tai sees it arrive as well. She says, it's come, the Death Kraken, and any ocean it touches, all life within it dies. And she tells Commander Drogue that if the heroes make it through the barrier and they're in danger at all, to set the beast upon them. And Drogue seems only too happy to do that if necessary. But Captain Gall says, but if the commander loses control, Admiral says, no, he will not. And all the more reason to finish these earth beans now before we need to use the beast at all or feed the beast. So Wonder Woman says, there's no time for this. There's no time to argue. If we're going to launch the city, if the foundation of the designs is Amazonian, I can launch it, but it must be done now. And Aquaman says, I'm not sure. Wonder Woman says, well, if the beast is the Kraken Poseidon warned us about, just draw the armada away. I'll fire the towers and Mira can protect me as I dive. So Mira says, okay, I think so. So that's the plan. So as Wonder Woman's about to dive into the water, she says, hear me when I tell you what Manta took from you. It's not your true power. You're a mariner. You're an explorer. And with every sense, I'm proud to call you a friend. And Aquaman, for his part, says, well, I hope you're right. And she dives into the water and heads toward the foundation of Atlantis to launch the towers. So Mira's power continues to grow with the Tear of Extinction. She tells Arthur that soon she'll be able to charge the trident and she'll be able to turn it into death, just as Poseidon wished. She says, I'll give you one chance up there, but if the sea gods do not hear you, you've got to promise me to strike them down with it. And Aquaman says, Mira, listen, you've got to promise me. I love you, but you cannot let those monsters win. And so he says, I do promise you. But what I promise you is we will not let the world fall. So the Death Kraken continues to descend. And the Admiral wants to be sure that Commander Drogue is in communication with the Death Kraken, able to control it. And he says, yes, the Bone Crown links us to Death Kraken is wild, but soon I'll have full control. And Manta said, it is so beautiful. And I hope you have control of it, because here they come. And Aquaman charges forward on their little skiff with Superman, Mira, and Flash, saying, for the drowned Earth, full steam ahead. And the Admiral kind of mocks him, saying, how quaint, send the armada. And the other beings, the other ships of the sea gods start to attack. Meanwhile, at the center of the earth, Wonder Woman has discovered the controls and she says, I found the lever, and she prepares to launch the towers. But just as she's about to, she's attacked by Cheetah. So meanwhile, the heroes back up on the surface are being overwhelmed by all of these soldiers and minions of the sea gods, and they just don't know if they're going to be able to even reach the sea gods. So Aquaman calls out to Wonder Woman saying, we can't hold them off much longer. You really need to launch the towers. And Mira says, it's no use. She can't hear you. You've got to do something. So what Aquaman chooses to do is to try to reach out to Tide, Gall, and Drogue. He says, I know you're wronged. I can make this right. And the gods don't even acknowledge him. So Tide asks Drogue, do you have control of the Death Kraken fully yet? He says, barely. And Black Manta says, don't listen to him. He's a trickster and a thief, a minion of Poseidon. As Captain Gall says, the Mariner is trying to speak with us. So barely in control seems enough for the Admiral to say, go ahead and unleash the Kraken on our enemies, but hold back its full force. So meanwhile, in the battle with Cheetah and Wonder Woman, Cheetah is saying, your gods can't help you now, Diana, no one can. And Diana says, well, I never begged from help from the gods, Barbara Ann, that was you. And as she swipes at Wonder Woman, Cheetah says, it stings, right? My claws are coated with the tear of extinction, one of the seven dark energies, and they can kill divine beings, even such as you. And Wonder Woman says, you know, if the whole earth dies, those gods, don't talk to me about the gods. You were always so blessed while I was betrayed by them over and over and over. And now I will claim a god. I will not be tricked anymore. I will not be stabbed in the back. No one will get the best of. And then she's shot in the back. So Wonder Woman starts to grab the key and begins to pull it to launch the towers. And we see that the person that shot the Cheetah in the back was Batman in the Lex Luthor prototype armor. And Wonder Woman was like, Batman, how did you get here? It's like, I programmed the suit's teleporter to take me to the team's leader. When Martian Manhunter is gone, that's you. So it looks like I got here just in time. It didn't do me any good to hang back at the Hall of Justice anymore because the Legion of Doom took the totality. Starman and Jarro are safe for now, but the Hall is lost. And I barely made it here, so now what? And Wonder Woman says, now we launch some buildings. Meanwhile, back on the surface, Superman is attacking the barrier that protects the sea gods from the Justice League so they can't reach them. And Aquaman continues to try to reach out to them, saying, Tide, please hear me. Mira's saying it's no use. And all of a sudden, they hear a rumbling. Superman says, what's happening? And Mira says, could it actually have worked? I don't think I actually believed. And Aquaman says, believe it. Atlantis is rising. And not only is it rising, we see Batman fly out in the Lex Luthor armor as well as Wonder Woman literally riding one of the towers of Atlantis as it launches into the air. Batman calls out to the Justice League saying the towers of Atlantis are making their ascent. You might want to move out of the way. And then he asks Wonder Woman, do we have any means of control here? And I love her response. She says, I'm riding a 4,000-year-old spaceship, Batman. It's safe to say I'm winging it. So Mira says, this is complete madness. What's this supposed to do? And Aquaman says, don't you see, Mira? This is what we wanted, this sense of wonder. It's what Arian always wanted, this crazy madness. This is what Arian dreamed of. And Mira's like, well, I think the circumstances may have been a little different back then, my love. And the sea gods notice the towers of Atlantis heading toward the barrier. The Admiral calls for the shields to be strengthened. They don't want the barrier to be broken. Then they'll be in danger of being reached by the Tear of Extinction and struck down by the sword or the trident. But there's no time to strengthen the shields because they scattered the fleet to attack the heroes. And there's no way they can strengthen it in time. So Admiral says, then use it, Death Kraken. Damn it, use anything, Death Kraken, to perhaps intercept the towers. But it's too late, and the barrier has been breached. And Aquaman uses his skiff to fly in through the hole, again reaching out to the sea god, saying, Tide, hear me, damn it, this must end. It's gone on too long. And Mira, still not convinced, saying, it's too late. The tear is fully charged. I can charge the trident. It's our only chance. We must strike them down. So meanwhile, Luthor is calling out to Manta saying, I've seen this story before and the tide is turning in the favor of the Justice League. So I've already pulled Cheetah back. Finish what you set out to do and I'll teleport you out of there. Manta, do you read? And Manta turns off his communicator saying, oh, I read you fine, Lex. Clearly, he believes that he is better off on his own. He's not going to follow orders. He's going to do what he wants to do, just like he warned about doing in the pages of Justice League, saying, you know, he only joined the Legion of Doom in order for what it could bring him. He was never, you know, he's not really a team kind of player. and he doesn't want to fall back. He believes this is his hour of triumph. So as they close in on the sea gods, Mira say, "Now throw the trident, take them down. It's our only chance. Fulfill your promise to me, Atlantis and Earth." And Aquaman says, "No, I will not. This is not who we should be. With the towers rising, I feel the remnants of this life force, and I have to try one more time." And Mira says, "Arthur, please." But he ignores her, and he reaches deep inside himself. He calls out one last time. He sends a call out to his enemies with whatever power he has left, but it falls on deaf ears as the Kraken swings one of its tentacles and destroys the skiff that him and Mira are in. And before the Kraken can devour them, the Flash, with the last bit of his strength that's keeping him from being fully turned into a sea creature, manages to grab Aquaman, Mira, and carry them to the little skiff that the sea gods are on. Mira is knocked out, and Aquaman is trying to revive her. The Admiral is saying, "Yeah, I've had about enough of this. Just bring the Kraken to the waters themselves and let absolute death be brought to this drowned world." So Commander Drogue says, "Yes, feed, great one." And the tentacles reach down toward the water. And we see the trinity of Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman saying, "We can't let the tentacles touch the water no matter what the cost. We must fight on." And Aquaman is still trying to revive Mira, saying, "Can you hear me?" She says, "No, I actually don't think I am okay. I think the tear was turning my heart dark. I think it was changing me like it changed Arion. And I think that you need to do what you need to do, like follow your heart, do what you believe. This tear carries the same cosmic death as the tentacles that are trying to kill your friends. And your call may not have reached the sea gods, but it reached me. And I see my father in you and how him telling me to see things as they should be and not as they are. So your call said the same thing to me. It wasn't meant to carry death. This conch, this crown that is holding the tear of extinction, it was meant to carry life like Arion dreamed of. And so you do have some power left in you. And with the trident and with this clarion, then maybe you'll be able to change it back to what it's supposed to be." And Aquaman says, "Change it back. Even if I tried and succeeded, we lose the tear, and then we lose the one chance we have of striking down the sea gods if I'm not able to get through to them." But the Death Kraken's attacking. They don't really have time to debate. And so Aquaman believes that he can do this. So Mira says, "Do it, Arthur. Now you have to change the clarion back." And Arthur says, "Yeah, but without my powers, even with the trident, I feel disconnected from everything." And Mira says, "No, it's not the oceans that you're connected to. It's not just the oceans. It's me. It's your friends in the Justice League. It's life itself. It is your true power. You can transform the clarion." So meanwhile, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman are holding back the tentacles as best they can. And Superman says, "Can you guys feel that? All of a sudden, there's a little bit of a tingle in the back of my brain, almost like a voice." And Batman's like, "This isn't a great moment to lose your mind, Superman." And Wonder Woman says, no, I feel it too. How is this possible?" And Aquaman, as he holds the clarion to his forehead, the tear to his forehead, says, I feel it. I feel all of them." And he says, "I think it worked. And the clarion is shining." And he says, "Here, use it quickly." And she says, "What? You can't be serious. You want me to wear the crown?" And Aquaman says, "Yes. Many ages ago, the monarch of Atlantis took this conch in hand and he put out a call to the universe. It was for life, a call of life, life calling out to life. And he shared that dream with Atlantis and all who felt that." He says, "I'm not the monarch. I can't play that part anymore. You can. I'm not the king of Atlantis. You are the Atlantean queen. So maybe you can play that part." So Mira says, "I don't know what to do." And Aquaman says, "You said it yourself. Just see the world as it should be." And as the tentacles are about to reach the water, Batman says they can't hold it back any longer. The Death Kraken is coming right toward the ship that Aquaman and Mira are on. It's about to touch the water. But right then, Mira places the clarion on her head. She sees the dreams And the images come as ripples at first, but then waves, and she sees this vision of the heroes past and present, and planets across the galaxies, across the blackness of space, civilizations connected, things as they should have been had Poseidon not lost his nerve, had he not become petty and selfish and afraid, and had he not convinced Arion that the gods were these sea gods that were coming were evil. So this vision of life she sees as a connection, and it's frightening and it's mysterious and it's wondrous, but most of all it's binding. And she shares that vision with Aquaman, and the heroes all hear her, and the others hear her as well, including the sea gods. So as the Kraken starts to retreat, the Admiral says, "What, Drogue, leash the Kraken." And he tries, but the sea gods aren't able to reach out to the Kraken. It seems to be retreating. And Drogue asks the heroes, "That vision, what was it? What trickery are you and are trying to play on us?" And Aquaman says, "It wasn't a trick. It's the truth." And he boards the ship that they're on, and she says, "What are you doing? You don't have permission to parley." He says, "Enough. You will hear what I have to say." And he actually kneels before the gods. And she says, "And what is that, Mariner? What is it you have to say? You who are marked with the runes of exile, of punishment." And he apologizes. He says, "For what I've done to you and our people, what Poseidon did, what Arion did, they betrayed you. But this trident of Poseidon, this trident of life belongs to you. A trident of life that Arion and Poseidon turned into a trident of death to kill you and send you to the graveyard of gods. We have transformed it back into a trident of life, and it belongs to you. It should have been given to you eons ago to nurture your planet's oceans in the cold expanse. And if there's any power in it left at all, it's yours, please." And Admiral Tide is taken aback, saying, "You would give us this trident when we have claimed your seas and your people?" And he says, "I would give it to you because this is your fate, and it's been locked away too long, Admiral. Remember the call. Remember the vision that you just saw." And the Admiral says, "But we've been lost to life and light for longer than we care to admit. Maybe we can parley, at least temporarily, Commander Drogue." And he says, I've regained control of the Death Kraken. I'll call it off. Maybe the time for spilling blood is past." And that, Manta hears that. He's like, "Yeah, I'm not buying that crap." And he stabs Commander Drogue in the back and says, "Maybe not." Captain Gall says, "Manta, what have you done?" And he says, "What I should have done a long ago, just like Cheetah's claws. My knives are coated with the tear of extinction, and now another god is dead. So you keep your visions and you keep your dreams. I'm taking this bone crown and I'm taking control of the Kraken. Say hi to the Earth's new sea god." And the Admiral says, "But you're no god. You're nothing but a pirate." He says, "Everybody has a little bit of pirate in them. Now, come on. I'll start with you. Start with a nice, loud arg." And he throws his blade at Commander Gall, and it impales him. And as he throws the one at Admiral Tide, Aquaman sticks his hand out to stop it, but it goes right through his hand and stabs Admiral Tide. And she says, "The Death Kraken, you must stop Manta. And this is what we've been waiting for, right? All along, what it was all leading up to. Manta versus Aquaman," as Manta calls out and says, "Yes, Aquaman, come and stop me." Meanwhile, Luther has managed to get a satellite down looking upon Manta, because he had turned off the communicator. He's like, "Manta, what the hell's going on over there? This is part of the plan, right? We have the totality, the oceans. We don't care about the oceans. It's not our concern. Turn your teleporter back on and get back here." And Manta says, "Yeah, how about I don't? You say the oceans aren't your concern because you've decided that they're don't matter, but I've decided that they're mine. And not just this ocean, every ocean in the universe." And Lex says, "Manta, don't you? Sorry, Lex, you're breaking up. The ocean and its gods have ruled us long enough. No more bowing. Now they'll bow to us, to me." And Aquaman says, "Damn it, Manta, this plan will end us all. You're going to kill us all with a stupid Death Kraken. You've got to listen to me." And Manta's, yeah, he's not going to listen to Aquaman. Never in his life would he. He says, "I think the phrase you're looking for is gone overboard," as he blasts Mira and Aquaman overboard. And Admiral Tide kind of a change of heart here, says the powers that we took from Aquaman, you're not worthy of them, Manta. I hereby restore them. By the tides, I restore them to Aquaman. But Manta's got the bone crown now. He doesn't really care, right? He's like, gain back his powers, whatever. Go ahead, talk to fish, Aquaman. What good is it to you now? And he says, well, when every hero on Earth is a fish, it's plenty. And we get this incredible two-page spread, a splash page from Howard Porter. And we get this incredible splash page from Howard Porter with all these different heroes that have been transformed into fish creatures, Miracle Man, New Superman, Hawkman, Man-Bat, Adam Strange, Firestorm. It's awesome. It's an awesome looking page. And you can see the look on Manta. He's, even though he's wearing a helmet, great job by Howard Porter to really use his body language to convey the feeling that, I'm in trouble. Meanwhile, Aquaman tells Mira, hey, the Kraken's descending again. You and the others must stop it. And she's like, but Manta. Aquaman says, don't worry. Manta is mine. And just like we've been waiting a long time, Manta says, I've been waiting a long time, Arthur. You and me battling for control of the oceans. No advantage to hide behind for once. And Aquaman says, I'll never hide from you, no matter what monsters you have at your back. And Manta responds, you know, for years I watched my father bested by the ocean and its protectors, leaving all sorts of treasure behind. That wealth could have changed our lives. You and yours revere the ocean, but I'm going to make the oceans obey me. And Aquaman's like telling him something that Manta will never really understand or get, that the oceans, they obey no god and no man. They're not the enemy. And Manta says, yeah, you know what? Maybe you're right. You are my enemy. So Kraken, hear me, kill this puny fool crowding my decks. And it starts descending, saying, Kraken? Kraken? It flies past Aquaman, and he says, it's still descending. And Admiral Tide, who is fading fast, says, keep calling. It will not listen to you, Manta. Drogue was the only one capable of controlling the Death Kraken, and you killed him. So now it's going to descend through the portal and kill Earth's oceans along with the whole planet. But it won't stop there. It's going to keep moving from planet to planet and kill every living thing in its path. Even you, Manta. Manta's response is no. So meanwhile, Superman's trying to hold it back, but he's saying it's too strong. And Manta still refuses to believe it, saying, you will listen to me, Kraken. You will hear me. You will obey. And Aquaman's had enough. He slams Manta's face into the deck. And as the Kraken still heads toward the oceans, Mira says, it's too powerful. It's going to reach the oceans. And Aquaman says, well, not on my watch. And Mira says, Arthur, what are you doing? And his response is, simple, my queen. I'm charting a new course. So now that Manta's been defeated, doesn't have the powers anymore, the Kraken has evaded his control. Luther, come in. My teleporter's on. I'm ready. Luther says, sorry, Manta, we seem to have a bad connection. Click. Lex, wait, don't. He has been abandoned. So Arthur, meanwhile, is steering the skip that he's on right toward the Death Kraken. Mir's telling him not to do this. And Arthur says, don't worry, I carry the life force in me. The Death Kraken lives on the opposing energy. I can kill it, me. Amira says, but you will die. I'm your queen. I command you. Come back. Stop. Do not do this. But Arthur says, there's no other way. I'm sorry, Mira. The way mariners say goodbye is to wish each other fair winds and following seas. And my heart, I wish you fair winds, following seas. Always, I will see you again. And as he flies into the heart of the Kraken, he remembers his father. He remembers the conversation he had with his dad where he told him there have to be other oceans out there somewhere, right, Dad? Dad? And his dad answers, yes, son, there are always more oceans. Some we can see, but the best kind are those we can't. And as Arthur sails into the heart of the Kraken, the life force that he has basically obliterates it with the words of his father echoing in his mind. Not until we're already sailing them, on our way to new uncharted lands, do we finally see those oceans. Meanwhile, 3 days later, the last of the flood rotters have receded. People are returning to normal. They're going to remember the last few days as kind of dreams or bad dreams. They're going to pick up their lives right where they left, and they will know who saved them. And as I told him at the beginning of all this, the tide gives and the tide takes away. So this I give to you and your people. They will always remember Arthur Curry. But Atlantis, I fear there's little that could be done for the destruction here. And as Mira looks on, she tells Admiral Tide, you know, I don't see destruction here. I see the reborn heart of the seven seas, the bridge of the continents, the protector and messengers to all life on Earth. And as its queen, I see Atlantis as it should be, as it must be. And the Admiral responds, I see it too. And I'm going to carry that message of that place, that clarion call of the cosmic conch that you showed us, the magic of life, the power of life. I'm going to carry that across to every ocean we meet in the great expanse. But what of Arthur, Queen of Atlantis? What of Aquaman? And the Justice League, for their part, are erecting a statue to remember him. And Diana apparently didn't attend the dedication. And Batman asks if she's all right. And she says, in some ways, you know, I spoke to Mira, and she's willing to take Arthur's seat on the Justice League as long as it doesn't take her away from the reconstruction plans of Atlantis. The people of the world are safe and happy. The Earth is restored. But I still feel like there's a dark shadow between all of this because we lost the totality and we lost our friend. And Batman says, both Martian Manhunter and Jarl have searched telepathically for Aquaman, but there's no sign of him. And Superman says, yeah, we look for his body everywhere through the debris. If he survived, and Wonder Woman says, yeah, he survived, right? He was tied to all of us. And when he slew the Death Kraken, he was connected by a thread of pure life. We would have felt him pass had he died. I'm sure of it. So Arthur's out there somewhere. I know it. And I can tell you this, whatever strange seas he's sailing, it's off the known map. He's in completely uncharted waters. And we see on the last page, Arthur has indeed washed up on shore somewhere. We get the little blurb, follow Aquaman's return in Aquaman 43 on sale December 19th. So just like his father had predicted many years ago, the best seas are the ones that you don't know you're sailing, the unknown seas, the oceans out there that you get to discover along with the wonder of life and the creatures they hold. So again, I feel like the whole series was leading up to this new direction for Aquaman. I think that it was a great way to really expand on Aquaman with him as a beacon of hope. Superman has always been the character in the Justice League that most embodies hope. And I feel like that's great. But then sometimes you get the big blue Boy Scout kind of connotation with Superman and people thinking he's boring or everything. Aquaman has had an edge at various times, especially in the 90s when he had the harpoon hand. Peter David wrote him. So he's had, you know, a little bit of variation here or there over the years. Like I've talked about several times during this episode, the core conceit of the character has always been a person of two worlds, a son of two worlds, not accepted by either because he is not trusted by the surface because of his Atlantean roots, not trusted in Atlantis because of his surface roots. Now, all of a sudden, we're looking at him in a different way. I've never thought of Aquaman as a character of hope, but the stories that Dan Abnett told that tied into this in the Aquaman book with the story of Aquaman sailing with his father and kind of discovering himself, with the story here, with what Aquaman was able to do to be connected to life. Again, I just think it's a really exciting time for the character. I feel like as much as I loved what Geoff Johns did in the New 52, it was kind of just rehashing and resetting the same old kind of tropes with Aquaman. So what I'm really hoping is between what Kelly Sue DeConnick is going to do with the character, between the movie that's coming out. So the movie's going to come out and that new issue is going to have been on stands just 2 days prior. I think it comes out on the 19th. So, and the movie comes out on the 21st. So hopefully it ties in enough to the movies. There's enough recognizable there from the movie that it's a kind of a new era for Aquaman. and we can get some exciting stories to come out of that. Now, I'm not saying I want the baby thrown out with the bathwater. There are still so many things about Aquaman that I love, you know, his powers and his sense of nobility and such. I would like to see him return at some point as the king and the ruler of Atlantis. I like him in that role. I like thinking of him as somebody kind of regal. But if we can, and I think, again, this is what Kelly Sue wants to do, if we can just move past that self-doubt that I feel the character has always kind of had because he has never been accepted, right? And because he's of two worlds, never accepted by either, there's always kind of that I feel sorry for myself kind of aspect to the character and, you know, kind of a pessimistic view, a glasses half empty kind of view on him. So if we can flip that around, and it seems like we certainly did on this, in this story, he was a leader. Aquaman was a leader way more so than Superman, Batman, or Wonder Woman, you know, the traditional leaders of the Justice League. I mean, you can say John Jones, Martian Manhunter is our leader, whatever. He might be the one that's calling the shots, so to speak, the one with the final decision. But when in the heat of battle, it always reverts to the Trinity in my mind. But not here. Here in this battle, it was Aquaman who was really the one calling the shot. So it was refreshing to see. So really enjoyed the story. The artwork, Manipole, Howard Porter, Scott Godlewski, their styles aren't wildly similar, but they're not wildly different either, so it kind of works. I feel like I kind of wish they'd gone Manipole, Godlewski, then Porter, because I feel like Godlewski's art and Manipole's art are more similar, and it would have been the transition would have been a little bit better. It was a little jarring to go from Manipole to Howard Porter in the middle. The difference between Porter and Godlewski is less, so it was I almost didn't notice when we switched from Porter to Godlewski, but the art is done really well. It's sufficiently grand and cinematic for a story of this scope. A lot of panels that go all the way across the page, some really great images of heroes as fish monsters. So all in all, a great job by the entire creative team. The colors, I think Manipole did probably his own color work, which he usually does. The colors in the rest of the book by Hi-Fi, it's a little bit of a muted palette or just kind of a watercolor look and feel. And they probably did it in that style because it matches what Manipole does on a regular basis. So all in all, great story. Really enjoyed it. Can't wait to see what comes up next in Justice League, what their next big event is. So far with Wonder Woman, The Witching Hour, and with Drowned Earth, we've gotten some incredible stories and exciting stories in as much as, you know, it might be typical event, comic book events where, you know, the Earth is threatened and ultimately the heroes are going to save the day. But the excitement comes in the fact that we're getting growth and change in characters that have been around for decades, and growth and change that's significant that we haven't seen before. So all in all, I really loved it. And like I said, I can't wait to see what comes up next. Having Scott Snyder, James Tynan, Joshua Williamson writing these Justice League books is like, I knew these guys were talented. I was fans of them as creators, but they are so far exceeding my expectations on this. Like, I totally agree with Snyder's sentiment. This is what Justice League is supposed to be. These earth-shattering events, these events that are just at the core of the DC universe and affect everything that spirals out. I still believe that as Superman titles go, you know, as they, how the sales are doing on Superman titles, what the core of the Superman stories is, the quality of Superman stories, as they go, so goes the DC universe. But man, Justice League is right there on the heels of that. And I think you get a strong Superman and a strong Justice League. And that really steers the ship of the DCU. So once again, I want to thank everybody for joining. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.